This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, David, for this introduction, and welcome to the War Room. Yeah, the War Room, very important stuff we're going to cover today, and it's a subject that's been on my heart for a long time, and it's about false prophets. We've got tons of warnings in the New Testament about false teachers and false prophets and fake Christians and wolves in sheep clothing. I'll tell you a personal story, and then it might make a little bit more sense why I'm quite a bit more emotive about the whole subject. And it's maybe just the way God has led me. Now, first of all, it's important to make a point that not every opinion expressed here in this broadcast agrees with the management of BPN Radio. Okay, so nevertheless, I will quote the leader of BPN Radio and then make a start with this. There's a man who runs BPN Radio. His name is Dale Gentry, and you heard him there at the introduction. And he made a very profound statement, and he was praying about this whole thing. And he felt that God was telling him that deception runs deep. Deception runs deep. And I believe that this is very true. This is very true. The devil was very lacking in success to destroy Christianity through persecution, and the opposite happened. And he made a far better job in destroying Christianity by creating a fake church and by introducing a lot of deception, by marrying the world with the gospel. And we get like a lot of stuff which is very, very bad. And we have seen this throughout the centuries that Christianity has been almost at a losing end. But the point is, and this is where we have to go back with, that we are serving a God who says of himself that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And as long as we throw ourselves upon the mercies of God, as long as we call upon the name of Jesus Christ, and as long as we seek God with all of our mind, heart, and soul, and we keep an open mind towards the revelation of God, he will lead us into truth. The Spirit of God, this is what John says, he will lead us into all truth, tell us about the things to come, but also warn us and lead us to righteousness. Now, what is the issue about deception, and what is the issue of, the whole thing about good doctrine and staying close to the Word of God? You know, there are so many things, there's so many Christian theologies and people talking about one thing or another. What is the relevance of getting everything 100% right? God knows everything anyway, and if we throw ourselves upon the mercies of God, things will be okay, even if maybe in one or two areas of our lives our theology is slightly faulty, yeah, not right, not according to the Bible. I mean, we are not going to get judged when we go to heaven, and you don't have any indication in the Bible, you know, did he get it all right? It's not there. But then on the other side, when you look in Revelation, you've got the letters to the churches. A lot of the churches were reprimanded for allowing false doctrine into their church. Yeah. So we've got Thyatira, we've got Pergamon, and then we've got some other issues as well. But they are the two ones where, you know, false doctrine was allowed to come in. Okay. Now, the issue about false doctrine is, for example, end times, yeah. Pre-rub, post-rub, pre-trip, post-trip, mid-trip. We've got all this, you know, when does the rapture take place? Is it, you know, at the beginning, the middle, the end? And you've got people having lots of arguments and things like that. And that's really not a crucial issue, because whatever happens, happens. It might change my attitude a little bit if I believe in a pre-trip rapture, because it's imminent. It's the imminency of Christ's return. It can happen at any time. He can call us home at any time, and then all the rest of what has to take place in order to fulfill Bible prophecy may take after the rapture. Yeah? And so the teaching of the imminency of the, Christ returning for his church and calling us home, it's, to be fair, it's not been, I've never read anything sort of going back more than about 200 years. So it's not been around that long, but this doctrine. But then again, eschatology has not been that strong, in the 1500s or 1600s and so on, even though they had plenty of reason to believe that Jesus was coming back at any time now. Okay, back to deception. Why is it important? So maybe the end time doctrine, if I get one or two things wrong, you know, what happens, happens. It doesn't really matter. If I get something wrong, it might affect my walk in Christ slightly. If I expect Jesus could be coming back today, yeah, then I will certainly make sure, especially if I'm living with the expectation of his imminent return, I'm going to make sure that my life is cleaner, maybe squeaky clean, and that I'm not doing stuff I shouldn't be doing that much. I mean, we do fall and we do make mistakes, but my whole attitude and maybe the urgency of the things I do is very, very different living in the expectation of Christ's return. So there is a slight difference, but ultimately, you know, it doesn't affect your walk with God that much. But for example, if you get the doctrine of justification wrong, and you believe that you have to do certain works in order to be righteous before God, it'll take the joy away. It'll take the joy of salvation away. Yeah? If you know that, you know, God loves you so much and he has poured out, you know, Jesus has shed his life and has given his life to save you no matter what, there's a joy in your life which is very liberating, very, very liberating. And obviously, you know, good works will follow. And the Bible says that we should walk in the works God has prepared in advance for us. Even the good works we are supposed to be doing, you know, even God does them for us, and all we need to do is just walk in them. It's not like a big burden. I mean, Jesus even says, you know, come to me if you are heavy laden, and I will, you know, I will release you from your burden, and the burden I give you is very light. And that's sort of important to bear in mind, that when we walk with God, his burden is very, very light. Again, there are other doctrines as well. So, for example, we've got this whole prosperity gospel, yeah? And I am a big enemy of the prosperity gospel. I believe that you know, if you walk with God and God will bless you, and I've seen this myself, in my own life, where I was an average mediocre student, and I wasn't very good. I was really, really bad, actually. And I came to Christ, and initially I thought, oh yeah, you know, just forget about school and all that, just you know, become a, you know, get a medial job and worship the Lord. You know, that's what it's all about. It's not about career and stuff like that. And my thinking, to an extent, was right, but God corrected me and he said, look, just do what is required of you. That's a message I got from God. And I started doing the homework we were supposed to be doing. Initially, I was just asked of it. You know, it's unimportant, it's irrelevant. And I was just doing what God laid in my heart I should be doing. And his blessing was so great that my grades went from, you know, a mercy pass to distinctions, to distinction level. And from a mediocre student who would barely, you know, graduate, I went to somebody who got such a high level of grades that that I could go to the next higher school, and then that I had access to this higher school, which again was, I never ever had a chance of that. So that was partly the blessing of God, you know, where maybe you get elevated to positions which otherwise you wouldn't. But the problem with the prosperity gospel is this, that these guys say they shift their focus from following God and doing the things God wants you to do to chasing money. And this is a big problem. You should never, ever go into this position. Your focus should always be, what can I do to please my Lord? Not what can I do to, you know, get a little bit richer, be a little bit more established in life, have a better job, a better business, you know, meddle in the share market, in the stock market. You should never, ever go down this way. And that is where deception creeps in. You know, there's this thing which is observable. You know, people come to Christ, they live a cleaner, better life because they are redeemed, they are set free from sinful habits, and suddenly they can put some money aside, and they've got better, a little bit more prosperity. They are more conscientious at work. So suddenly, instead of, you know, trying to avoid work, they're doing work and they get in better positions at work. They might get more money. And so on. And so there's like a natural progression to, you know, Christians or people who come from a worldly lifestyle to a Christian lifestyle, that they fare a little bit better. And then some people come along, they observe this, and they make a whole doctrine out of this. And you've got a big problem, because biblically it doesn't stand, it doesn't wash at all. On the contrary, it says there, you know, if you want to live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. People will go after you, and they will give you a hard time because you are a Christian. And that is one thing you have to expect. And that our abode, our home is not here. That's Hebrews 13:14. But it's, we're looking for the one to come, for the place, for the city to come, to stay there and to live. We don't belong here. We belong to heaven. This is sort of the one of the big deceptions which come in. And it looks very pious and very good on one end, but then on the other side, it just goes really crazy, and it sort of turns people away from God ultimately. What happens if you fall victim to false doctrine? If you fall victim to false doctrine, you will become infertile for the kingdom of God. You will carry less fruit. Your focus is going to shift from the things that are really important in the eyes of God to the things which are very important in the eyes of man. Okay, going back to where my own position is. You know, I became a Christian. I come from a Catholic background, and I suddenly experienced the gospel. I experienced the power of God. I was within the Pentecostal charismatic environment when I came to Christ. Then I learned, you know, the evangelical spectrum as well. I was really hungry for the Word of God. I didn't get it where I was. So I went to a Brethren church, and they knew the Word of God inside out, and I got strong Bible teachings there. So I enjoyed both sides of the divide within evangelical Christianity or born-again Christianity. And at the time, I mean, to me, the big enemy as such was the Church of Rome. Everything else was okay. And it took me some time to sort of realize. I went to the Lutheran church just to see what they were like. And I saw that, like Sardis, you know, they have a name to be alive, but there was nothing there. They were dead, spiritually dead. They were just sort of talking politics and, you know, be good and do this and that. But there was no, you know, there was no spiritual life left in the church. And it was really, really tragic to see. And that was me as a young Christian, what I experienced. Then within the evangelical spectrum, sort of going through the 80s and 90s, I was pretty much, you know, open and, you know, anything which had the stamp, you know, evangelical or charismatic or Pentecostal, for me was okay, was fine. And then I sort of remember one key event where we didn't have Christian media in Germany or in England at the time. There's nothing there. There's no Christian radio, no Christian television. So the only Christian media I had was on shortwave. And the ministries on shortwave was quite interesting. They were actually quite good. There was no poaching for money. There was no prayer-thon where you had to phone in and donate lots of money. They were just people who had the gospel at their heart, and they just wanted to reach out with the message of the gospel. And I learned a lot when I was listening to shortwave radio from various ministries based in the United States. Unfortunately, these days you don't seem to hear that much from them. There was one ministry in Michigan. They were really, really strong. They were tackling all the different questions people had. And then in the 90s, mid-90s, I went to America and had my first experience of Christian media, Christian radio and Christian television. And I was in the motel. I still remember I attended a wedding of a friend. And all I heard was just people talking about money from morning till evening. Just talking about money and why I should give my money to this particular ministry that happened to be on TBN. And I was quite shocked and slightly disgusted, because I thought to myself, surely this cannot be right. You know, this is not what this is for, that all you talk from morning till evening is just give me your money. And that is the kingdom of God. Big question, did Jesus do this? Did he beg for money? Did he ask for money? And when I look through the New Testament, I can't see this anywhere. Did Paul do it? And he didn't. All he asked for was money for the saints in Jerusalem who were suffering at one stage. But not even money for himself. He never said, give me your money because, you know, I'm a minister and I've got a right to your money. Never, ever in the New Testament. So life went on, and in the late 2000s, I got sort of tied up in a cult. And I didn't know I was going to the Ukraine. I had some friends over there, and they were with the church, and they were preaching the gospel from what I could understand. I speak a bit of Russian, but not too much. So I could sort of follow what was going on, but not too well. And one thing which kind of struck me is when I looked at the book table they had in the church, there wasn't a single Bible on it. They weren't selling any Bible whatsoever. There wasn't any evangelistic literature, but there was just the literature of this one big leader of this church movement, the wisdom of this man. And that sort of irritated me a little bit. When I sort of went to the church services and also to the big one where the big man, you know, the leader of this movement, was speaking, again, from the little Russian I understood, the majority of the talks were always about money. It was money here, money there. And then you had the great wonders and miracles. So people went to the front and they fell over, a bit like sort of the Benny Hinn stuff you can see. I sort of tried to figure out, you know, is this real or is this not real? And whilst I was sort of staying there in worship, I was praying about it. And the sense I got at the time was that the music was loud, was very noisy, very emotive. And there was a bit of both. There was, you know, because there were people genuinely seeking God, there was the presence of God, but there was something else as well. And that's what I noticed at the time. Okay, sort of later on, I kind of realized that some of the people were totally addicted to this man. They would almost put whatever this man was saying beyond the word of God, or they would, you know, take it as the true interpretation of the word of God. Maybe they wouldn't put it beyond it. And that I found to be very, very irritating. And anyway, so we got the prosperity message gospel, and we got, you know, the healing and the power and the special dispensations. And there were a lot of doctrines which I didn't find in the Bible, you know, sort of deliverance of certain things and what you need to do and so on. My Bible tells me that whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And apparently in their church, you know, if you had some generational issues, you needed to have this special blessing, and the top guy needed to pray for you and he needed to set you free. And I don't know. I still have severe problems with that. There's some other guys I deeply respect in their ministry, and they say similar things. But so I just leave it on one side. Okay. Now the next thing. The problem we have, and the problem I have, is that very often people, they get sort of led astray in their walk with God. And I could see this with the Christians I met over there, that they were struggling in certain areas of their life that didn't really need to struggle with. You got a whole lot of, you know, within this cultic environment, you got a lot of legalism stuck in, and this legalism was used to sort of control them and to control their, you know, their actions and the way they would relate to the cult. They would influence people very heavily, even in very private and personal matters of their lives, and they would take control of them. And I found some of the stuff very painful. I think they realized that I wasn't really on board with the whole thing. And I'm not sure what was going on, because I'm not aware of the language, but I got the feeling, and I don't know whether this is right, that I got slightly ostracized because I wasn't, you know, buying into the whole stuff, and I was asking questions which were maybe inconvenient. I don't know. Anyway, in the aftermath of this, it kind of shook me up a little bit, because these guys claimed to be Christians, and there was an element, I met people who I'm convinced are genuine Christians. I'm convinced they know the Lord, I'm convinced they walk with the Lord, even within the leadership of this group. But also I'm convinced that there are people who I'm not sure, you know, where they stand. One thing I'm sure about is that they are deceived, and that they preach a different gospel, and a different message to the one we have in the Bible. So that's sort of where I got my conclusion. Okay, that's sort of my little personal story to look into false prophets. When this happened to me is I was spending a lot of time just trying to figure out what is going on in the church, you know, what is real and what isn't. And you know, what is going on with these people? And then I looked at the whole TBN thing, you know, about all these, you know, the money fishing, not fishing for souls, where you try to get out there with the gospel, you get out with some spiritual truth, but it's all about getting a lot of money in and building this little project and building it up and so on, and having very, very strange messages, which I cannot see in the Bible and cannot see justified in the Word of God. So how do we deal with this? I did sort of two journeys at the same time. One journey was looking into cultic Christianity, and I found an awful lot of Christian cults where you get people who have got some, who are egomaniacs, who are looking to get attention seekers, they're looking to get you know, some distinction or you know, some affirmation from people. And they end up somehow on the Christian preaching circuit, and they become very vocal. They speak the Christian language. They talk the lingo, and they somehow seem to be able to get a following, but they're not really interested in God. And we've got some guys, there were stories which I sort of then came onto it with Peter Popov, who was deliberately deceiving people. He had a wireless system where he would get information from people, and then he pretended to have some sort of prophetic gift within the audience, and he was talking to people and he was putting them into awe, but most of it was just fake. It wasn't divine revelation. It was just you know, very clever information gathering. There were a lot of other guys as well who claimed to be something but really weren't nothing. And there were people who you know, claimed to be great prophets, and they have the power of God, and they would sort of, you know, confuse a lot of people with the stuff they were doing, and people were convinced that these guys were holy men of God, whereas they weren't. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story which I heard from an African friend of mine, and it's actually very, very disturbing, and it shows you what may be going on in some churches. So we need to be very, very careful, and we need to have the spirit of discernment. Now, when we look at Matthew 24, Jesus warns us that there will be many false prophets coming, not just false messiahs, but also false prophets. And when we look through the Bible, we have got a warning in almost every book of the New Testament. I think there are two books where there isn't a warning. I think one is Philemon, and then there's another one. I'm not quite sure. I went through it, through the New Testament at one stage. I went from Matthew to Revelation, and in every book is just warning, warning, warning. You know, the Pharisees, false brethren, false teachers, false prophets, false apostles, just going all the way from Matthew to Revelation. There, from what I counted, from what I remember, two books which don't deal with this subject in the New Testament. And that's all. Okay, so back to the war room. Why is it important to make sure, hold out, and look out for false teachers, for false prophets? It's very, very important. Again, a prophet is somebody who claims to proclaim the word of God into a given context. So that's really what a prophet is, the word of God into a given context. Now, it's important to make sure that we are not led astray. So the only way to do this, there are only two ways of doing this, and you need both components in your life. One of them is the word of God. So basically, know your Bible. And if you don't know your Bible, you know, hook up with people who do know the Bible, and put these ideas towards them, which are presented to you. And the other one is the Spirit of God. So there are people out there who know, who can recite the Bible pretty much by heart, but if you haven't got the Spirit of God, there's no point. They just don't see, and they can't see the truth. It's like scales in front of their eyes. So there are these two elements, two aspects, ingredients, dimensions, whatever you want to call it, which is the Word of God and the Spirit of God to really understand what is going on. So, war room, yeah? Lots of false prophets. And we've got so many false prophets today Turn on Christian television. I used to have 15 Christian channels here on my satellite system. I don't know. I've turned it off. I haven't got it anymore. So I don't know how many Christian channels are out there. And there were maybe one or two where I think people were genuine, where people were genuine Christians that weren't megally deceived, or they weren't deceived at all. A lot of them, you know, you got people who just following some twisted Christian culture, which you cannot find the Word of God, cannot find in the Word of God, or they were pursuing, you know, their own interests. Or I would even go so far and say that some of them were placed by the enemy. We've got a parable about, you know, the bad seed, where the enemy sows bad seed into the field. And you know, the story goes that, you know, people go to the master and they say, look, we sowed good seed, but the enemy came at night and he sowed bad seed. What shall we do? And the answer is, wait until the end of the harvest, and then we're going to pluck up the bad seed. I had the privilege, and I'm just going to say it one more time. I worked on a farm for a bit, and I've seen what weeds look like, you know. And when you sort of, and I've seen all the stages of growth as well, and when you look at them, when they're tiny plants, you can't really tell one from the other. I couldn't. The farmer, you know, who owned the field and was running it, he showed me the differences, and I could barely tell it. He could tell the difference. By the time they grew to maturity, sort of halfway through, I saw them, and again, you can see the difference, and that is sort of, you know, halfway on the way to the harvest. You can see the difference, but it wasn't really clear. And I mean, the Bible says that, you know, what should be avoided is to rip out the good with the bad. Towards harvest time, the wheat looked very pretty. You know, you got the ears of corn and all the rest of it. And the weeds, like W-E-E-D, they looked really ugly. They stood about, you know, quite a bit, about a third higher than the wheat, you know, W-H-E-A-T. Then the corn, you know, about half the plant higher. They looked really ugly. They were very thorny, and you could actually see that they were different. They stood out like a sore thumb. And then the interesting thing was that we had to pull them out because one of the fields was used for seeding. So all the bad plants had to be ripped out of, or there were only allowed to be a certain percentage or a certain number of plants. And so we ripped them all out. That was one of the jobs I had to do when I was working on this farm, and the roots were actually really light. You could just, you know, pull them out and no problems. Whereas if you got hold of the corn, the wheat, yeah, W-H-E-A-T, you couldn't. Yeah, you could plug them, but the root was so tight in the ground, it was very, very hard, very difficult to pull them out. And that was quite an interesting experience. And that is really what we are looking for as well, that as Christians, we will be eventually so rooted in the Word that, you know, like Jesus says, you know, in Matthew 24, they try to deceive the elect if that were possible. But because our roots are so deep in the ground of the Word of God and in the ground, you know, of our, you know, what God has given us, you know, in our faith, that it is not possible to uproot us, but it is very easy to uproot the fakes. And that's really one of the things we have to look out for. Look out for the fakes. One thing I noticed as well is that the growth of the wheat, like W-H-E-A-T, next to the weeds, W-E-E-D-S, was very stunted. Yeah. They didn't grow very well. And you could visibly see this. And that is a problem as well. So if you are falling foul of false prophets, your growth is going to be stunted. We are coming to the end. God bless. Here's the outro, and then we're going to carry on with false prophets tomorrow.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate, or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.